You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Fabulous Peltoncast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we are coming to you live from Renton, Washington, home of the Super Bowl 48 champion Seattle Seahawks. But today we are not talking about the Seahawks' loss to the Green Bay Packers.
We're talking to you about...
We are not talking about the Sanders winning the MLS Cup.
Don't expect anything sports related.
We are not talking about the Rams firing Jeff Fisher, even though I want to talk about that so bad, because today we are talking about music.
Okay, wow. Those are all the things we're not talking about. We're talking to you about not just music right now, but the entire last year of music.
So this is a tradition that we started the last time we had a podcast in 2013.
This is the second annual 4 years later.
three years later. So that at that point, what we did was, I think at that point, we just went through the Pitchfork Top 10. Now the format we've settled on is we will go through the Pitchfork Top 10 songs of 2016, and then we're each going to list our top 10 songs of 2016, and then a little special bonus at the end, if you're good.
Oh, wow. Only if you're good. If you recall the first time that we ever did a music podcast, the song that I specifically wanted you to talk about was Body Party by Ciara, and now we're talking the Seahawks. Look at that transition.
There you go.
To look at 2016 review, I thought it would be interesting to look at the Pitchfork Top 10 songs to give a general sense of what music looked like,
yeah.
Right? So looking at these Top 10 songs, the list came out today. Had you heard all the songs before this? Any general thoughts?
No, I had not heard all the songs before this. Let's see here. I had not heard four of the songs, I guess I would say.
I hadn't heard
Which is about an average number for me.
I hadn't heard two of them.
Okay.
Usually I've heard all the songs, I feel.
Yeah, that's a little out of the ordinary for you.
Did you have any general thoughts about the list?
By the way, should we let people know? I don't know if everyone who's a listener to this knows that now that you work in music.
I do.
This is kind of, usually it's a little more tilted towards me, especially the basketball stuff. Today it's all tilted towards you.
Oh, well, thank you. For once, it's tilted towards me. Yeah.
Also, fantasy football, that's also tilted towards you.
Oh, just you wait until Thursday. Yeah. But I work in music. Also, I don't know if everybody knows that we're brothers.
That's true. Some people may not know that. I put that on the front of the website. People should know that at this point.
It's a little bit confusing, but actually, biological brothers. Professionally, every single day I work in music, and you work in sports. That's how this works, right?
Yes.
And for this one time, you get 51 podcasts.
I do.
And I get one. Actually, we're still doing another podcast this week. Yeah. You get 52 podcasts. I get one special edition podcast.
Also, there's a special edition on sports coming up soon.
You get that too.
I get that one too.
You get like 65 podcasts, and I get this one music podcast.
Although I would say that the year in review sports podcast is also tilted towards you because of your Nostra Tristan proclivities. But again, that's not what we're doing today. So first off, I'm going to crack open a Rainier.
All right,
Jubilee can.
Right. I've got two of them over here. I'm going to do the best toast that I've ever done because I'm holding two Rainiers in hand.
That's quite a toast.
There we go.
I mean, frankly, I would say a pretty terrible year in music, not because of anything that was recorded, but because of the number of greats we lost. We should probably pause to mention that at the beginning.
And pour one out. If you just pour that right over your computer.
Yes, that's a great idea. It's appropriate that these are purple for Prince.
Mm. You've got Prince, David Bowie, Leonard Cohen, even just recently.
Yep.
And some of them may appear later on these lists.
Spoiler alert.
I don't. You could read the Pitchfork Top Songs.
It's true. Do you want to start with the Pitchfork Top Songs?
Yeah, let's start with the Pitchfork Top Songs, and then we'll go back and forth with our top 10.
Okay. So number one on the Pitchfork Top 10.
No. We're going number 10 down.
I'm sorry. Number 10 on the Pitchfork Top 10. You want to start this off?
Yeah, I'm going to start this off. I'm going to say them. You talk about the first, and I'll talk about them after.
Okay.
At number 10, there is Black Beatles by Ray Schrummer.
Featuring Gucci Mane, right?
Yes.
So this is one of the songs I listened to an extensive catalog of music in the last week or two here to prepare for my top 10 list and make sure I wasn't omitting anything. This was one of the songs I went back to revisit, and it really didn't make consideration for my top 10. I mean, I don't think it's like bad, but wait, you think it's obviously like that good?
It's obviously that it didn't make. Okay, so I did this thing where I saw the Pitchfork Top 10, I had my list, and I tried to, I only have one song that crosses over between the two lists, because I tried to tilt it so that we could talk about as many songs as possible, but this song is one of the 10 best songs of the year.
Interesting.
Are you kidding me?
I don't feel like, I feel like the flow in the song is just a little bit too laid back for me.
Too laid back? It's all about the beat, first off. There's a lot of songs that we've seen in 2016 where the beat has these drifting, vibing beats, right? And
think,
this one,
I think a few of those may appear in my top 10.
Sounds perfect on the Drive soundtrack. That's what this is, music. It's dark, it's ethereal, and that's what everything sounds good on this beat.
All right.
Also, I would see, so there's Black Beatles by Ray Sherman, but then also the Nicki Minaj version. Are you aware of this?
I'm not.
Black Barbie by Nicki Minaj, which sounds equally as good as Black Beatles. She took
so
this
that appears on your top 10 as well then?
No, neither of them are on my top 10.
Oh, okay.
They're not, because we were already talking about this here. But to me, this song is the best radio single. It's the best mainstream hip-hop radio single of the entire year.
I do not agree with that, but that's why I'm having my own list.
Wait, do you have a mainstream hip-hop radio single?
I have one at number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right. Number one.
Number nine. Number nine.
I wasn't even listed reading number one.
Just let me read them.
You read them.
Number nine. There's the song True Love Waits by Radiohead.
So this is one of the songs that I had not heard. I didn't listen to the Radiohead album at all, I gotta say. I feel like it's weird. Were you ever into Radiohead?
No.
For some reason, we feel like we are the kind of people who should listen to Radiohead.
I don't feel that way, but okay.
You don't think so?
So if I were having almost any conversation with almost any music person, and I express my honest feelings about Radiohead, they would come back at me very hard. Fortunately, I'm doing this with you, and you have no feelings about Radiohead whatsoever.
None.
So I could say whatever I want about them, and you really can't challenge it.
Chuck Klosterman had a really nice profile of them that appears in...
I'm sure he did.
One of his books, a compilation book, whatever that was. Yeah, I gotta tell you. It sounds like all Radiohead to me.
I was going to say if I were to make a list of my least favorite bands of all time, Radiohead would maybe be in the top 10. But I don't dislike Radiohead. I just don't care about this band. I have never cared about this band. There is no Radiohead song that to me stands out at all. Maybe a couple of the songs on OK Computer when they were a mildly interesting band. But how is this song in the top 10? Are you kidding me? This was one of the songs I hadn't heard because I will never listen to Radiohead. I tried listening to the new single from their first album. I turned it off halfway through. More Radiohead garbage.
Wow, you're aggressively apathetic about Radiohead. So before the podcast...
Aggressively apathetic.
Yeah. You told me that your take on one of these bands was going to be unpopular in the music industry and... I assumed it was Radiohead, and I was correct. No,
you said, wow, you really hate David Bowie.
I did. That was a joke. That was a hilarious joke.
This is my hottest music take. This is my hottest music opinion, is that I don't want to say that I hate Radiohead, because I feel like that's too far, because I don't hate
Radiohead. That's
why
I said you're aggressively apathetic.
I just don't care about Radiohead.
Yeah, in a very aggressive fashion. All right, let's move on.
At number eight, we have Shut Up, Kiss Me by Angel Olsen.
So I knew nothing about Angel Olsen, had never heard of this person.
Booked by the Billions Corporation.
Really?
So watch yourself.
Huh. That's interesting. I listened to this song, and it feels very familiar, even though obviously it was my first time listening to it. I thought it was a perfectly good song. I don't know if I thought it was one of the 10 best songs of 2016.
Wow. Jeez.
I mean, obviously I didn't because it's not on my list, but it's like a very pleasant listen.
Okay, we have a pleasant listen.
Yeah.
It felt like Angel Olsen, it felt like she was building towards this, but a song that was big, having a big song. And I think this was their big rock song on the list. But this track where Angel wails at the end, it's so huge. It almost starts as a garage rock song, kind of just turned up. Everything is so much faster, and it has a catchy chorus. It's great.
Yep.
At number seven, the song Work by Rihanna featuring Drake.
So this was a new song to me. No, I'm joking. Of course I'm joking.
I won't believe anything. some of the songs on your top 10. I feel like your top 10 is much more normal this year than it has been in the past.
It's much less the end than it has been in the past. I mean,
you included songs that aren't even from the calendar year that we were in.
Yeah, well, so has Pitchfork.
Wait, have they?
Yeah. It was a big complaint about this. I went back and listened to last year's podcast. There was a big complaint.
We had a big fight about it.
Yeah. But... Anti was one of the albums that I did go listen to, and I kind of felt like the favorite songs on that album were not the singles.
Really?
Yeah, I felt like some of the album cuts were better.
Have you listened to that song, Love on the Brain? It's like a classic soul song.
Was it on there?
Yeah.
Then yes.
Man, that song is so good.
What does she cover on there? The Tame Impala song?
Is that on the album?
I think it's on the album.
I was a little bit surprised to see the song in the top 10, given the fact that Black Beatles is the best hip-hop radio song of the year. As many people are saying. That's a little bit surprised to see it on there. I think it's a good song. It didn't necessarily stand out to me that much. I think the Rihanna album is really good. And like, I kind of feel the same way as you, that this wasn't the one track that...
Yeah, I don't think it lived up to some of her previous singles. I mean...
On the Brain track is really good.
To me, the hook of this is just kind of annoying.
Me too.
All right.
At number 6, we have Drone Bomb Me by Anony. So I'm assuming this is one of the ones you've never heard before. Yes, but the artist and the song.
And yes, that is true in both cases. And quite a fascinating backstory to this song.
What is that?
Sung from the perspective of someone who is getting attacked by drone strikes.
A Syrian refugee.
Yeah, and whose family has been killed.
Maybe not refugee, but a Syrian citizen.
Yeah. Contrasting with kind of a relatively upbeat beat to the song, I would say.
It's almost a dance song called Drone Bomby.
Yeah, it's very strange.
What did you think of it? What's your take here?
I mean, my take was more positive than negative. I wouldn't call it one of my 10 favorite songs of the year, but it was good.
Musically, I think sonically it sounds so good, right?
Yeah.
With the beat by Hudson Mohawk and 10 Tricks Point Never. It sounds really good. I still think the lyrics are a little bit heavy-handed. I'm not necessarily looking for a song sung from the perspective of a Syrian citizen, because I feel like that experience maybe is singular to a Syrian citizen, right? I feel like it's almost impossible for anybody else to replicate that experience.
Can't quite climb in that brain.
Yeah. It's a very tough one. I mean, I admire the effort, but at the same time, just like, man, oh, maybe a little bit too much. But musically, it sounds so good.
But at the same time, that effort is why it landed in the Pitchfork Top 10.
Yes. There are other artists who could have made the same song, and it would have sounded like such a joke, and Anony is able to make it not sound ridiculous.
Let's do it.
Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah.
At number 5, we have the song Lazarus by David Bowie.
So another one I had not heard.
You heard of the artist?
Yes. So familiar with David Bowie? Bowie? Hadn't listened to his final, I guess it's not posthumous because it was released right before he passed away, album. Obviously, this song in particular kind of speaks to the process of dying and kind of preparing for that.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know if this is my favorite song to listen to. There's this thing that happens where there are songs where you're just impressed that they exist.
That makes sense.
You're impressed that David Bowie, 3 days before he died, released a song where the first lines of "Look up here, I'm in heaven," right? And then also the couplets at the end where David Bowie sings, "Oh, I'll be free," right? Clearly knows what's happening and is able to foreshadow it on the song. At the same time, does this fall in the category of classic David Bowie? This you're smiling at me like this is a hot take, but can I say that I'm going to go back, we're going to look back on this 10, 15 years from now and listen to these songs in the same way? Because I feel like the impact really matters if you're there at that moment, but lasting, I'm going to be going back and listening to Low or Heroes.
So you can direct your complaints to @TristanCarasino on Twitter. Please leave @KatePelton out of it. This is not my take. No, I mean, obviously, like, this song is in the top 10 because of who Bowie is and yes. The fact that he passed away, not necessarily strictly on the musical merits of this song.
And it's impressive, right?
Yeah.
It's impressive.
It's also, I mean, there's also the curve that you always get graded on when you're an older artist and can still put out competitive music.
I think there was the last time that we did this podcast, 16 years ago, there was a posthumous Michael Jackson song on that list. It's like, if you die within the year, any song that comes out is going to make this top 10.
Michael Jackson did not die within that year. He died in, I believe, 2009?
If you die ever. If you have ever died.
Which is why the next song is Tupac.
At number 4, we have Ivy by Frank Ocean.
So, obviously, this was a long-awaited album. We go back to... you thought it was going to come out when you were about to see Frank Ocean at a festival in LA in summer 2015?
Yeah, it seemed like it was going to.
Because of the fact that he was performing. It was going to be his first performance.
We thought it was going to come out on Friday, and then he was going to perform on Saturday.
But then he canceled his performance.
Kanye replaced him, though. Who actually put out an album before Frank Ocean put an album?
That is true. Yeah. And I got to say, as long as we waited...
Speaking of complaints, at Kate Pelton.
I don't think this album was worth the wait.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm
you
not.
You don't kidding. Think the Frank Ocean album was worth the wait? Which, first off, how do you define that? What were you doing during this time period? What does Frank Ocean owe to you?
All right, that's a compelling point.
I don't think you're worth the wait, but...
No, this podcast was not worth the 3-year wait. That's been obvious the whole time. No one has ever denied that.
Near perfect album. Your only complaint about Blonde, you're talking about the album Blonde, right?
Yes.
Not the visual album that preceded it.
I am.
The only complaint that you have about this is there were quote unquote too many skits.
No, that was the primary complaint. I really despise skits.
They're not skits. They're part of creating the culture of the album.
Don't care. I do not want any recorded audio on my albums.
Any recorded audio.
I mean, obviously the songs. Spoken word. That is recorded audio. I don't want any spoken word on my songs.
I'm trying to think of a situation where you're definitely okay with any sort of interlude of any kind.
I mean,
right?
Look, The Chronic is one of my favorite albums of all time. I'm not going to say otherwise.
Wow.
But it was that much worse.
The Million Dollar Crack skits. Pyramid. You're not... You don't like D's Nuts? That's what you're saying to me right now.
Okay,
you're
that's
going maybe, on the record and saying you don't like D's Nuts.
The exception that proves the rule.
I was thinking of going back to Cali, where Puff calls Big on the phone and informs him of a flight that they have coming up.
All right, that's valid.
And Big goes, Cali?
Does it actually set up the song?
Yeah, much in the way that these Frank Ocean interludes set up the songs.
Nope.
I can't believe it. How much have you've really listened to this?
Yeah.
You've listened to these songs.
A couple of times. They just didn't grab me.
Okay, Ivy is the only song that appears both on the Pitchfork list and on my personal list. It is such a good song that it could not be included on only one.
Congrats.
Wow!
I mean, the other thing I have to say is I go back to Channel Orange these days, and as much as I listened to that when it first came out, it was the song that I listened to, the album that I listened to the most of that summer by far.
Yes.
Doesn't do it for me that much.
Actually agree with you about Nostalgia Ultra, about Channel Orange. It has not aged that well. Nostalgia Ultra... The mixtape that preceded Channel Orange, which you clearly haven't even heard of, based upon the looks you're giving me.
No, I've heard of it. That was based on you mixing it up with Channel Orange. That was the look.
Nostalgia Ultra has aged very well. And these songs don't need to age well because they're perfect to begin with. And I'm assuming that they will age well. I think Channel Orange hit you a little bit too much right away. But then,
I mean, maybe if I revisit it at some point, I'll feel differently about it. We'll talk about another album didn't hit me at first.
Oh, God. Is it going to be Kanye?
No.
You probably have no thoughts about Kanye.
I don't have no thoughts about Kanye. We'll get to that.
I had a friend of mine compare the Frank Ocean album to Like a Fine Wine.
Okay.
And that it gets better every single time you listen to it.
I mean, I did enjoy when I listened to this today in preparation for this podcast. I enjoyed like 90% of the song. But then it descends into high-pitched screeching at the end of the song. I'm like, no, I'm out.
That's the best part! That is the...
It's a feature, not a bug.
Wow! I can't believe that you're saying this. I come out against Radiohead, which is like a pretty sound opinion. But you're coming out against Frank Ocean?
Look, music is not a science. You can't, like, have right and wrong opinions.
Okay. Well, that's clearly a wrong opinion. Okay. Number three, we have Cranes on the Side by Salon.
Another album that I went and listened to in preparation for this podcast. And this was, I feel like...
You're not going to say anything bad about this, are you?
Oh my God. No, I'm not. I feel like this song, it was on my honorable mention, was one of the two I put as an honorable mention. And I feel like if I had listened to it more, if I had paid more attention to it earlier, it probably would have cracked my top 10.
Yeah, we're in the Knowles section of the top 10.
We are.
It was almost hard for me. Actually, I would say that this was pretty similar to the Frank Ocean album, where it was hard for me to even pick out one individual song, right?
See, when I listened to that album, I mean, I agree that the whole album was good. This still stood out to me as the best song.
Really?
Yes, and which obviously matches the conventional wisdom in this case.
I mean, so the Seat at the Table album by song, there's the song Don't Touch My Hair, right?
Yeah.
And then the featuring Sampha, which I really like. And anytime that Sampha's on a song, I'm in on that song.
Yeah, more to come on Sampha.
Oh, is he in your top 10?
He's
featured in your top 10? Wow, he's not even featured in my top 10. All of a sudden, I'm back on board with whatever you've got to say. Anytime that Sampha's on a song, I'm into it. And also the song Mad featuring Lil Wayne. To me, like, those three songs with Cranes in the Sky all are just amazing songs. So it's hard to pick out even one. It's kind of the same way with Frank Ocean. You're like, okay, there's nine good songs here.
See, I mean, I think that speaks to the difference between albums that are meant to be consumed as albums and albums that are meant to be consumed as songs.
It'd be the reason that for my, there's no Salong songs in my top 10, but if I were doing a top 10 albums, it would be in my top 10.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
And number two, we have Formation by Beyonce.
So I think the thing
that... You're going to come in again. You're going to have negative opinions about this too.
I don't have negative opinions. This wasn't my favorite.
Police officers were justified.
Hot sauce. Not that big a fan. I mean, that's a true opinion of mine. No, I don't.
Another wrong opinion.
This wasn't my favorite song off Lemonade when I was listening to Lemonade regularly, which was a long time ago when I had Tidal on like the...
You had Tidal?
The free... I signed up for the free demo period.
Hot subscription.
To listen to this album before going to the Beyonce concert.
Yes.
And that was like so long ago now that I feel like that the fact that I have not heard any of these songs really has... I mean, Formation obviously is out there as a single. It's on YouTube and things like that. But... still, it's not in the zeitgeist the same way that other songs are.
I think it is suffering a little bit that it came out too early in the year.
That for sure, but also because of the fact that it's so hard to access Lemonade as a whole. So I didn't end up putting any Beyonce songs in my top 10, even though I thought it was a great album to listen to at the time.
I mean, completely the same. Part of what defined 2016 was streaming services, yeah, right? Because that's where most people are listening to music, is on streaming services. And then also exclusivity, because Frank Ocean debuted as an Apple Music exclusive. The Coloring Book by Chance the Rapper debuted as an Apple Music exclusive. There are songs I'm going to, when you, on your WordPress page or on the Fabulous Puntencast page, I'm going to have you link to my playlist of the top songs of 2016, right?
Yes.
And I don't have Beyonce on the top songs of 2016 because it's inaccessible to me as an Apple Music listener. And that's the place that I'm listening to most of my music. It's really difficult to go to YouTube and listen to songs.
And I don't know if you can listen to anything but Formation on there. Can you?
No, there's a bunch of songs on there.
Are there?
The whole thing is on there.
Oh, I couldn't figure it out when I was trying to look.
Wait, how recently?
Last week.
Oh, you were just bad at navigating.
That could be.
Clearly user error.
It could be.
At least Hold Up and Sorry are on there because I watched them today.
Okay.
I didn't do any sort of title free subscription. But it was a thing that we saw in 2016, and I'm curious to see how it will look going forward, because streaming services want exclusives, and it's basically all that Tidal has as a streaming service.
I mean, I think it's only going to get worse.
There was talk that I actually think it's going to get better, because I think people are going to see this and see that it's a limited purview that Beyonce has had.
Perhaps. I mean, her song also, the song is number two in the Pitchfork top 10.
Yeah, it's not number one.
It's not that limited. There were other Lemonade songs in the top 100. I don't forget exactly where they ended up. But I think there was at least two others, right?
That sounds about right. At number one, we have Ultralight Beam by Kanye West, featuring Chance the Rapper, most notably.
Yes. Kirk Franklin.
But also Kirk Franklin.
Yeah.
Also The Dream. Also Kelly Rowland. Is that right?
That sounds right.
Or did I just completely make that up?
It's also featuring just a list off 10 other artists. So this, I wouldn't say was my favorite song off The Life of Pablo.
Kelly Price, not Kelly Rowland.
Which I think is a pretty hot take.
Not, it's not my favorite song off The Life of Pablo. Okay. Wait, what is your favorite song off The Life of Pablo?
We'll see.
Ooh, I thought Kanye was not going to be in your top 10. You teased that to me last week. You were like, there's a very notable artist who I know will be in your top 10, but it's not going to be in mine. Yeah, but that was Frank?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was Kanye.
I might have also been thinking of someone else, but it definitely wasn't Kanye. Because Kanye, I already had that on the list. But this might be Chance's best verse of the year.
So it's not even really... Kanye West shows up. He does a fine job, right?
Yeah.
It's not a Kanye West song.
Kanye is like the host of the party. And then like the party goers are the story here.
Chance is the story here.
Yeah.
Nobody else is the story. This verse that Chance has, and especially preceding the coloring book. I mean, we don't remember the anticipation that there was for that album. And he basically, he
you can really divide life into pre and post coloring book.
Well, and also The Life of Pablo. He talks about that album that was coming, Chance 3 is called at the time, right? And then also talks about what was going to come with Now We've Seen. They've changed the rules for the Grammys. Chance the Rapper talking about not selling his music, right, to get a Grammy. So this verse, he said, let's do a good-ass job with Chance 3. I hear you got to sell it to snatch the Grammy. Let's make it so free and the bar so hard that there ain't one gosh darn part you can't tweet. This is my part, nobody else speak. This is my part, nobody else speak. That right there is the entire song, and that's all it needs to be, and it's perfect.
Nice.
Kanye sets it up. This is what Kanye does best, right? Kanye is a fine rapper, but what Kanye does best is he produces music. He tightens everything up just a little bit, and he's able to understand talent everywhere else, right?
Yeah.
The part where he says...
Which I think is true of a lot of... I mean, not necessarily the producing sense, but I feel like that's a theme in modern music now, is making use of these other talents, whether it's someone like Sampha or someone else.
Well, the part where Chance says...
I mean, not that it's hard to make use of Chance's talent, like... Chance's talent works pretty well.
Even Macklemore managed to do it. The part where he says, I made Sonny Candy, I'm never going to hell. I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, yep, that seems about right.
Yep.
There are other artists who have, though. I can't remember. I wish I remember the dude's name. A rapper from Chicago who seemed like he was going to be huge. He was actually an old man when Kanye discovered him.
Maybe that was the issue.
There are other rappers who are in the Kanye world, but this song in particular, Kanye plays it last as his shows, right? And it's like, you just, after hearing it, you're like, this should be the beginning. You played this entire show, this should be the beginning. Play the show again, Kanye.
I wish I knew. I missed out on the concert.
Wouldn't hold your breath about seeing that one anytime soon.
Yeah.
But this didn't crack my top 10, partially because it was number one here, and we'd be talking about it here. I have a different Kanye West song in my top 10, but this track, as far as curating talent, is basically perfect. And also, the return of Kirk Franklin?
Yeah.
GP, are you with me?
Hell yeah. We have in church. We ain't going nowhere.
Okay, should we look at our own top 10 songs?
We should.
Do you want to start at number 10?
All right. Number 10 for me was Me and Your Mama by Childish Gambino.
Really?
So I didn't really love the Awaken My Love album as a whole. It's a little bit too, I don't know how to explain it, but the vibe of it is a little bit too, I don't know, drugged out? I don't think it's necessarily that, but whatever the vibe is, it's not quite what I was looking for from Childish Gambino. But this song is what I'm looking for from Childish Gambino, particularly once the beat drops and he starts really going hard.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Really?
Yeah, it's number 9 on my list. I didn't think it would be on yours.
Wow. Huh. How about that?
I'm curious how many of our songs overlap. But I'm going to call him Donald Glover because the Childish Gambino name is so bad. But...
That's fair.
Donald Glover gets a little bit of extra credit for putting out the best TV show of the year.
I judge this wholly on its own artistic music merits.
Congrats.
Although I do later have the song that he performs is Black Beaver in Atlanta.
Wait, really?
No, that's a joke. That would be great though, wouldn't it?
The rest of my top 9 are every Paperboy track that's mentioned. It's mucking. Out of nowhere, Donald Glover puts out an album, right? He's previously just rapped musically. Out of nowhere, puts out an album that channels, I would say, krautrock and also Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah, okay.
This was not something that I was expecting.
It was a change of direction musically.
And this single, I think, embodied it more than anything else.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm a little bit surprised that you have it on there.
You were going to say impressed, but then you stopped yourself.
Yeah.
All right, what's your number 10?
Nowhere near impressed.
I've heard your other opinions here.
At number 10, I have a combo of two songs together.
You always do this.
This is my number 10. This is what I always do at number 10.
I mean, technically, I have a combo of two songs in here together, but that's for a good reason.
Man, I'm so ready for whatever you have. Whatever you've got coming, I'm excited for. It's the song "If This Tour Doesn't Kill You, I Will" / DVP by the band Pup.
Okay, I'm not familiar with this.
Have you ever heard of this band?
No.
They're a Canadian. They are a Canadian pop punk band, and this song starts slow, right, with the awesome thing to say, "If this tour doesn't kill you, I will," which is great. And it starts slow. It's building up to that. And then turns into such a sing-along anthem. You're going to love it when you hear it.
Okay, I'm
and here. This song, it leads naturally into the next song, DVP, which is actually the first single. So you hear that as the first single, and you're like, whoa, that song rules. But then you hear it on their album. It's the first, "If This Tour Doesn't Kill You, I Will," is the first song on their album. Leads naturally into the next song. And DVP is all sing-along anthem. Everything about it is so huge. It's fast. It's huge. You're singing along immediately. It is just up your alley. Plus...
Yeah, you know I love a song. Good song to sing along to.
Why can't we just get along? The video for DVP is the song interpolated into a bunch of 90s video games. Including Ken Griffey Baseball.
Well, there we go. Okay, I'm in. Are they playing as the Blue Jays? The Expos.
The Spos. I assume they'd be the Blue Jays. They're from Toronto.
Okay. All right, at number 9 for me, St. Pablo... from Kanye West featuring Sampha.
I considered this.
Yeah. This was my favorite song off The Life of Pablo when I went back and revisited it in preparation for this. I don't know what's going on with the beat, but it's phenomenal. I thought that was Kanye's best rapping on there, and Sampha's voice is great.
Sampha's pretty much perfect, right?
I didn't love the song that he had in the Pitchfork Top 100. I went and listened to that today.
You're wrong. You're wrong about that.
But I think it's different. I think he's this generation's Nate Dogg. He should just be singing the hooks for everyone else.
Wow. Sampha's this generation's Nate Dogg.
You did not expect a Nate Dogg reference on this podcast.
Not at all. I kind of like that too.
Pour some out for Nate Dogg. And for Najeel Hale playing at UW.
Man, wish he still played here. St. Pablo came out very late, right? It wasn't part of the initial release of the Life of Pablo album.
Right.
It was kind of a straggling single that got added on to it. And you heard it and you're like, oh, Kanye's on to something now.
Yeah.
Because the Life of Pablo, kind of embodied by Kanye not... getting in the way of Kanye, is what I would say. Most of the album is Kanye not being able to get out of Kanye's way.
Well,
there's some things that he does that are so perfect. And you're like, why did you have to rap those words, Kanye?
Yes. Yes, very much so.
But on a few tracks, Kanye gets to some real things. And on St. Pablo, I feel like... tighten the whole thing up.
Yeah.
He was able to view what was going on with the Life of Pablo release and even comment on that and still sneak it on to the Life of Pablo.
It's a new method of creating an album, and I feel like this is not going to be the last time we see it.
From Kanye.
No. Well, we'll see.
There might be surprise albums, but then there's long, drawn-out process albums.
Yeah, but I think the idea of the album is a living, breathing organism as opposed to something that, like, okay, well, now it's done. Like, that's not the way other stuff works anymore.
I like it. I mean, I'm definitely for that as an idea.
It's like a website. The website is never done.
Oh, well, my number 9 was Me and Your Mama, so.
Okay. Yeah, so moving along to my number 8, I Have Been to the Mountain by Kevin Morby.
There you go. Really? You know what? I Have Been to the Mountain.
You would... Of Kevin Morby songs?
I would have gone with Dorothy. I didn't include Kevin Morby in my top 10, but that would have been my track that I would have included.
Yeah, to me, this was pretty clearly my favorite Kevin Morby song.
Really?
Is it bad that I didn't know that it was about Eric Garner until I read about that?
I had no idea. How would you know that?
I guess if you had been to the Genius page.
Is there, wait, is it discussed? Is there a Kevin Morby genius page?
That is the only attribution on the I Have Been in the Mountain page. Okay. I haven't looked at any other Kevin Morby songs.
I think Kevin Morby had an excellent year, right?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by this because I feel like of the people you enjoyed watching in person this year, Kevin Morby is pretty high on that list, isn't he?
It was part of the discussion that we had earlier, which is if we would have made a half-year list, Kevin Morby might have been 3 of the 10 songs.
Okay.
But now we get to the point, you realize that in June there's certain types of music you want to hear.
It's true.
And December there's certain types of music you want to hear. And it's almost like you think about the Oscars, right? All the movies that are nominated for Oscars come out in October, November, December. It's very backloaded.
Oscars season.
And I feel like the songs are partially backloaded because they're fresh in our minds. But that's kind of part of it also. Is I've listened to Kevin Morby so much this year
right.
that when you put on a Kevin Morby song, I'm like, okay, I've heard this so many times.
See, so that's why I tried partially, like, I think the order of my top 10 is more recency bias, but I tried to go with, like, there's the songs that I added on Spotify over the course of the year. That was, like, the crux of the list. So there was, like, probably 6 songs when I started out that I knew were going to be in the top 10. Might have cut one of them eventually, and this was one of them.
This was one of the songs that was cut from.
No, no.
What are you saying?
I might have cut.
You just said those part six, of your top 10.
Of those 6, I might have cut one that is not on the list, but the other 5 are still here. This is one of those 5.
I think partially I played it out completely. It's too much, but at the same time, Kevin Morby had an excellent year. Right, put out a great album. Also put out.
You make it sound like he's like a baseball player. Had a great year. Hit 3 home runs.
Yeah, on base percentage. 410.
Wow.
You wouldn't believe his ops.
Great, great batting eye.
Yeah. But throughout the year, it was somebody who consistently, I was excited about their music. And I thought this album was clearly the best Kevin Morby album. And I just listened to it too much. I actually blame Baby Fantasy Genius, who you'll hear later. And we'll assumedly have him, Kevin Morby, in his top 10.
Yeah.
Very high in his top 10.
All right. Who's your number 8?
Number 8 on the song Old Friends by Pine Grove.
By Pine Grove?
You're still never familiar with this band. You hear this band, but you're never familiar with them. You're going to hear it on my top songs, which I'll share with you, and you're going to love it. Actually, you might hate it, but you're going to love it. To me, Pine Grove is kind of the new Springsteen.
New Springsteen? Wow, that's high praise.
I've discussed this with you before, where you look at most rock songs, right? And there are not a lot of words. It's not the case with Pine Grove. There's a lot going on.
Dense lyrically?
It's very dense lyrically. There's so much happening, right? You're kind of along for the story. There's a story arc to the song. And in this song, you could recognize that there is a beginning and a middle and an end. And it's very storytelling-like, right? It's almost a hip-hop song in a certain way. But an interesting voice, literally his voice, it's a little mountain goat sounding, interesting voice, but then also so much going on within the lyrics, where you have a person talking about basically breaking down, where they're at in their life and assessing where they are with their friends, right? Cause there's a song where they're talking about the dude is talking
so
about
many
making
songs
new
about
friends.
Friends this year.
And then another song. Yeah. and then this song where he's talking about staying with old friends.
Uh huh.
You're going to love this.
Because you got summer friends.
Yes.
And then
Francis and the Lights.
Just friends, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Summer friends, Chance. Friends, Francis and the Life. Real friends.
Oh, yeah.
And old friends. Hey, I didn't think about that.
It's the year of friends.
It's the year of friends. It's 1995 again. what is your number 7?
Drunk Drivers / Killer Whales by Car Seat Headrest.
That'll appear at number 5 on my list.
Okay. To me, the best song of the year to sing along to.
The best song of the year to sing along to.
Yeah, when the Killer Whales part comes in, you just want to just yell. It's great. I've seen this in person a couple of times, although we saw the modified version that Car Seat Headrest performed eventually on Jimmy Fallon
days
later.
Did not see the Roots play with him, though.
No, exactly. No. The Roots did not make it to the Neptune. Great year for Car Seat Headrest. I was stunned that this wasn't the Car Seat Headrest song that made Pitchfork's top 100.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that, too.
But instead, they went with Fill in the Blank.
It was another song, another band that I heard so many times courtesy of Baby Fantasy Genius.
Yes.
He may say later that they weren't his number one band of the year, but they were his number one band of the year. Whatever he says, if it's not Car Seat Headrest, he is lying. He is a four-year-old liar. I have heard so much Car Seat Headrest. I have heard the demand for so much Car Seat Headrest.
To be clear, we don't actually think he's lying. He's just a four-year-old and changes his mind about stuff a lot by the minute.
You should hear him. You should hear him talk about last year's favorite songs. I'm like, how do you not remember Courtney Barnett? I'm like, wait, so you're telling me you don't remember any Jamie XX songs? What am I doing with my life? But this song, another song that builds up really well.
Yes.
But it's perfect to sing along to the entire way. And that's what Car Seat Headrest does across the whole Teens of Denial album. Basically, even these random little songs, you're like, man, even that one I can sing along to.
Yeah, it's just a matter of getting to know all the lyrics to all of those.
It's all about hooks with Car Seat Headrest, which is kind of a funny thing for this, you know, muted indie rock band, a band that's compared to a lot of 90s lo-fi bands. And it's really all about hooks. It's not all that different from something like Black Beatles for Car Seat Headrest.
Okay, I hadn't thought about that comparison, but sure.
But I'm saying that Will Toledo and Car Seat Headrest is writing songs that you are going to sing along to.
Yes.
Okay.
That's another one that I feel like if we had done this over the summer would have been like probably top three.
Yeah, I can see that. There were a couple bands. The three bands to me that define the first half of the year as far as bands go are Car Seat Headrest, Whitney, and Kevin Morby.
More to come.
we're number seven.
Yes, you're number seven.
My number seven is the song On Hold by the XX.
So I feel like if I had listened to this more, it might have cracked the top 10. Oh,
it's so good. So last year we had Jamie XX.
Yes.
And this year we have the full XX, although this is only one track from their album, which I think next year is going to be an XX year, although it may come out too early into 2017.
Right. So we're going to have to keep that in mind.
This is one of those songs that's going to straddle both years. But On Hold by the XX is maybe the perfect song.
I kind of agree, which is weird that it didn't crack my top 10.
It's one of those songs where you're like, Jamie XX is kind of maybe the perfect artist for modern times. And then also you add in the rest of his friends from the XX.
Well, obviously, like, the best song from Jamie XX's album
was featuring Romy from the XX.
Right.
Yes. And this adds in everybody. And then coupled with that, there's a
video. There's only one other person. There's a three-person group at this point, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But coupled with that is the video of them, not them, but the video of a scene of teenagers in Marfa, Texas.
I haven't seen the video.
It's a little bit too sexualized for teenagers in Marfa, Texas.
Oh, my.
But it really brings the whole song together. And to me, the thing that really dominates it, understanding after Jamie XX had solo music, understanding his influence on the band, looking back on them now, it's like, okay, I get what's going on here. And you can hear it so perfectly. You can hear exactly what Jamie XX is doing.
Can I complain about something, by the way? Is
it hypersexualized teenagers?
Yeah,
those kids need to put some clothes on.
You know what I miss?
What do you miss?
The Notorious XX. Do you remember that?
I do. I don't miss it, but okay.
Mashup of Notorious B.I.G. and the XX. And I don't think it exists anywhere anymore.
It's gone. It's not. Nothing is gone forever. Let you in on a thing about the internet.
No, things die.
What dies?
What about the mashup of...
I'm sure that this is on the internet.
Of Blue Scholars and, the...
Modest Mouse?
Yeah.
I'm sure that you can find that.
I have not been able to find that. And it used to be on Groove Shark, and now it's gone forever.
There are other websites besides Groove Shark.
Oh, I miss Groove Shark. That's what I'm saying.
It's go to google.com.
I haven't looked for that. If you find that, let me know.
I will. I will let you know.
All right.
We're on number six.
My number six. The Season / Carry Me by Anderson .Paak.
Oh, really?
And this is really here on the strength of the season, which is only like, I think it's only like a minute and a half of this song that is together, like 5 minutes of two basically separate songs that are on one track.
You told me your top 10 was going to be only Anderson .Paak songs. Are we into the Anderson .Paak territory?
We are into the Anderson .Paak territory. So the one song I cut from this list was an Anderson .Paak song.
Which was that?
Which was that? That's a great question.
Was it an Anderson .Paak song from Malibu, or yes. Was it okay?
It was, Am I Wrong?
Wow.
Was the one that I cut.
I wouldn't have cut that. It's not in my top 10, but I wouldn't have cut that.
I mean, that's why it's not your top 10. But the season is just a minute and a half of perfect song, I feel like.
Yeah, and Anderson .Paak had one of, we talked about this on the...
Oh, look, we can talk more about Anderson .Paak. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of Anderson
.Paak. Okay, jeez. We're on number six?
Yep.
Number six for me was No Matter Where We Go by Whitney. Do you have any Whitney in your top 10?
I do.
Okay.
Should I just go to that? Because it's my number five.
Go to that.
My number five was No Woman by Whitney. And I think that might be the perfect song.
We have a lot of perfect songs that are not number one.
No. So this was what I had
was. Kind of... Wait, was my perfect song? Like not even in my top 10?
Yes. So this was the one that I didn't have on my list, and then I saw it on Pitchfork's top 100, not in the top 10, and remembered to go listen to it and was like, oh yeah, this is amazing. Because that, first off, the entire Whitney album is amazing.
Yes.
But that to me is the best song because of the mood it creates.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know going into this year that the one band that would surprise us the most, I think, about among any of the bands would sound like a combination of America and the band.
Yeah.
I think that combination, we didn't know it was coming, but it was all that we wanted, right?
I never knew that I wanted so much falsetto, but I did.
A lot of falsetto, a lot of people on stage when you see them live, but perfect hooks. And for me, on No Matter Where We Go, sometimes you just want a catchy song about driving around.
That's true. You had nothing else to add? Can I make my one complaint about Whitney that you're still upset about my complaint?
I don't know what this is, but I'm furious about it.
No, I told you about this when Whitney first came out, that like I had a tough time getting into it.
Oh, their name?
Because their name reminded me of the show with Whitney Cummings on NBC in like 2012.
You should pay a lot less attention to that show and a lot more attention to this band.
Let me tell you, when you search for Whitney, that still is one of the top search results.
Really?
The band is not completely driven it out because I did that search today.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated to say. You tell your mom that it's a song by Whitney, and she's going to go straight to Whitney Houston.
Exactly. I think they need a new name. I feel like if they had a new name.
Changing your name is the worst thing. Okay. I know personally. We have a podcast called The Fabulous Peltoncast. My name is not even Pelton anymore.
Well, it wasn't Pelton when we started doing the podcast either. I'm just arrogant like that. Are you talking about The Bright Futures?
I'm talking about every band that's changed their name ever. Preoccupations this last year.
All right. If you say so.
You don't change your name.
I feel like they'd be bigger.
Your name is... They would not be bigger with a different name. Are you joking? Your name is all that matters, and you don't change it.
My name is my
name. Name one band that is more popular after changing their name.
I mean, I'm sure the Pearl Jam.
To me, I think they'd be a lot bigger as Mookie Blaylock.
I would.
That was really good. Man, you're on fire.
All right, I think we're skipping that all the way because we've done both of our number fives, yours being Drunk Driver, Killer Whales. Again, Anderson .Paak.
Wow.
With Come Down. And so this is an interesting one because this wasn't from listening to Malibu, one of the Anderson .Paak songs on my list.
It was
list.
From the NBA on TNT or something?
It was.
It really
it's
was.
So good on the NBA and TNT that I had to revisit it. I was like, whoa, what was I missing this whole time? This is a great song.
Yeah, Anderson .Paak's... Okay, I was going to say Anderson .Paak is more or less perfect, which is wrong, because there are still a lot of clunky songs on the Malibu album.
That's probably true.
But when Anderson .Paak is right, it is so perfect, and especially Anderson .Paak live.
Yes.
There's three, I think, tracks on... I guess also you said it's called The Season. I don't even know the song that well.
Yeah.
There's that, to me, The Dreamer, where he's talking at watching TV as a kid, Come Down and Am I Wrong. Those tracks are just the exact right tracks. And then you see Anderson .Paak playing them live, and you see him drumming and singing and rapping along, and you're like, all right, that's the perfect human being. I can't do any better than that.
Yep.
Which I guess is kind of a theme for this year. You talk about being so multi-talented, right? And we're talking about Donald Glover is getting credit for being on the best TV show of the year and also putting out a top 10 song of the year.
I mean, Kanye didn't make any of our top 10 TV shows of the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, barely even on the Kardashians. But Anderson .Paak, and I'm assuming he's going to appear again on your list.
There will be this is the last song from Malibu on the list, but it is not the last Anderson .Paak song.
But doing so much live, right? And you see Anderson .Paak and you're like, this dude can do everything that you can do as a musician. He can sing, he can rap, he can play drums and do those things at the same time. And I know, I haven't seen him do it, but I know that he's a brilliant guitar player.
Yep. All right. Your number four.
My number four is Ivy by Frank Ocean. The song Too Undeniable, despite what you may have to say about Frank Ocean. So undeniable that it needed to be included on my list, even more so than Ultralight Beam.
Okay. The only whole crossover. All right.
Do you want to say your number three?
Yeah, my number three, All Night by Chance the Rapper featuring Knox Fortune. That was my choice off the coloring book.
Really?
Because I think it was, the best song I've ever heard. That includes a line about gas money, and that line is so much fun to sing.
Is you is or is you ain't got gas money?
Is you is or is you ain't got gas money?
That's
probably the last time I should sing on this podcast.
I'm saying way too much, but not in my top 10, but certainly the best song on the Chance album.
Yeah, other songs are like higher than it in the Pitchfork rankings, but come on, you know. When you want to listen to Chance, this is the best song to
listen to. Other songs from the coloring book are higher than it on my rankings.
Interesting.
I'm saying that there are songs. This is the exact same argument we had when the coloring book and K. Tronada's 99 point.
Well, should we wait a second on that one?
Well, okay. Yeah. Okay, we'll wait a second. We're on number three. That was number three for you?
Yeah.
Man, that song is good, though.
Isn't it?
I was a little bit surprised live seeing Chance that it wasn't a bigger deal song. It's kind of just like...
It was like folded into kind of...
Yeah, I'll play All Night right now. It's like, damn, this is the song everybody knows. This is the song that people get hyped on.
It didn't really fit the biblical theme of the show.
It's like, can you feel me?
Or the puppets theme.
And number three for me, I have the song that I may have thought I want to be the only song for 2016. It's been around for a while. It moved down to number three, but this is the track from Kanye. That's Real Friends.
Interesting.
I just can't. I try to get away from Real Friends. I try to like other songs more. I like Ultralight Beam. I like Saint Pablo, but it's Real Friends. The first time that it came out on a Friday, it was a Good Friday song, along with a little snippet of No More Parties in LA. And I listened after that came out that night. I turned it on repeat on my phone and listened to it 55 times in a row.
You got it?
And I never once got... Yeah, I spent 4 hours listening to it. I never once got sick of it, and I still am not sick of it. I will never be sick. Even if Baby Fantasy Genius falls in love with the song and wants to hear it every single day, he's like, Dad, can we listen to Real Friends by Kanye? I'll be like, of course we can, because it's the perfect song.
That's the best measure of a great song, is how many times in a row you're willing to listen to it, because the fact that it's the only song you want to listen to, because I did that with St. Pablo.
There are two songs to me that I remember in my entire life turning on repeat and listening to over and over and over again. And the other one is Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
Oh, yeah. When it first like came out?
Yeah, the first, it was came out on a Saturday
when
night.
When I was still trying to figure out, because I heard like the wrong version of it or something. I don't know if you remember this. And I was like, what's the deal with this song? And I heard the wrong version of it. And then I heard the right version. I was like, oh, that's why everyone loves this song.
Yeah. You may have had a hot take that wasn't a good song also.
Fortunately, we did not podcast about that.
There was that song, and then this one, I just listened to it over and over and over again. And there's something about the drifting beat and Kanye rapping over it, and this is the one moment where you're like, yeah, I'm right there with you, Kanye. There are very few times in the entire album where you're like, I am in the same space as what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And in this song, you're like, I completely get it.
When he was talking about Taylor Swift, you felt the same way.
And he's like, yeah. He's like, I hate it when somebody texts you, hey, how you doing? What's up, my brother? And then the next day they ask you for something. It's just like, Kanye, you have real problems that real people have. Why are you talking about other things? I'm gonna be clean here.
Bleach.
About bleach.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not a problem I have, Kanye. I'm sorry. We're just not in the same boat here. And there's a lot of the album where that's the issue. But on this song, it's the perfect track. It sounds so good. And Kanye is right there with you.
So you might say that it's like one of your good friends.
Old friends, good friends, new friends.
Your friends. Number two for me, Blow It Up by Kate Trinata featuring Anderson .Paak. It's like the combination. By the way, did you know that Cajun had produced All Night.
I did know that.
I didn't realize that until today. I assumed he had produced some of the Anderson .Paak songs on Malibu that I liked, but the one he produced on Malibu is not actually one of my favorite songs from that album.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure what that is now off the top of my head, but it wasn't even close to my list. Anyway, this is like the marriage of my favorite artist of the year and then my favorite producer of the year.
Chance and Catronata?
No. No, that was the...
Oh, sorry, Anderson .Paak. Anderson .Paak's your favorite artist of the year?
He wins my artist of the year. And the 99%, the 99.9%, I forget what it is.
99.9%.
That was my favorite album of the year. And it was interesting because, as you mentioned, it came out at the exact same time as The Coloring Book. And so when I first listened to
The same day. I don't know about what time exactly.
Okay. That's enough the same time. When I first listened to The Coloring
Book, p.m. Eastern.
It wasn't what I was looking for at that moment, like right at the start of the summer. It was getting nice. I was very excited about that. But Catronata was the perfect summer music that lasted all summer long and still holds up today. And then I came back later to Coloring Book when we were about to go to the Chance show and revisited it and then realized it was an amazing album, obviously.
Wow, it took you all that time to come back to Chance?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
I listened to Catronata a lot.
I mean, I don't disagree with you about this, right? It was a great song. It's basically the perfect producer for this year. Somebody who can marry electronic themes with hip-hop so naturally. Where Catronata can put out an more or less an electronic album, and it'll still... It's honestly a lot like Jamie XX.
Yep.
Where he can marry... And Jamie XX can do hip-hop also. But, like, Jamie XX can put out a pop album that's also an electronic album that's also a hip-hop album. And Catronata can do the exact same thing for this year. But then at the same time, he can produce this beat for Chance the Rapper and have Anderson .Paak on there and make a perfect pop song. It's kind of amazing. You imagine pop radio, and you're like, this is what pop radio should sound like.
I mean, I think a couple other observations.
And Black Beatles and this.
A couple other observations. It's interesting that this song stands out so much on the album because the album is so good as a whole that it shouldn't have a song that stands out.
Yeah.
But this is still much better than everything else.
It's just different stylistically is why it stands out.
Yeah, and then I feel like, you know, in sports, the MVP is usually, it's like the best player on the best team. This, to me, was the best song in the best album. So in that sense, it probably would be the MVP of 2016.
So hip with your Catronata. You have no Black Keys pen. You have no album songs from last year.
It was a bad year for the end, I gotta say.
I would have expected it to be all Barnes Courtney.
All right, your number two.
My number two. I really went back and forth between number two and number one.
Okay.
It was tough for me. And number two, I had him last year with the Cha-Cha, the original Cha-Cha, at number 10. And at number two... Drum featuring Lil Yachty. That is Broccoli.
What about?
There's a lot of serious tracks on the Pitchfork list, right? There's Anony as a Syrian citizen being bombed by drones, right? There's David Bowie speaking to us from beyond the grave. And then there's Drum. There's Drum just talking about broccoli and his taste that he acquired for salmon on a bagel with the capers on a square plate.
Drum is awesome.
I really think that this year, to me, there were serious tracks there, and I'm fine with that. But most of my top 10, especially at this point, especially where we're at right now, were mostly just fun.
Yeah, I feel similarly.
And this song, there's no more fun song through the entire year. There's a video with Lil Boat playing the recorder. When he plays the recorder, you're like, yes, that is exactly what I want right now. Lil Yachty doesn't have any individual song of his own in my top 10, but a breakout star, another one that we did not see coming. We didn't realize that Whitney would emerge as a pairing of The Band and America and take the world by storm. But we also didn't realize in the year 2016 that a rapper who took beats from Mario 64 would be the rapper that we love the most.
I mean, Drum took beats from Super Mario Brothers. So.
What a perfect pairing! It's amazing seeing the two of them having such a good time. You cannot imagine a happier rapper, right? This and then my number one artist, just really positive about what they're doing, happy all the time. And then you take Lil Boat. What he's doing, it's not aggressive. It's not violent. I like what some people are doing in that world, exploring and pushing issues. But Lil Boat's just rapping and having a good time. Drama's feeling good.
All right. Do you have a guess as to what my number one song is?
I'm trying to think of what we haven't heard so far.
It'll probably seem kind of obvious after it happens, after I say it.
Oh, you already had Whitney.
Yeah.
You had Kanye.
Yeah.
You had Chance. You had a numerous I've used Anderson up all Pack my songs. Anderson
packs.
I really don't think I know.
I mean, there's one notable artist who has not appeared in here, and that is Drake.
Oh.
With One Dance, featuring Wizkid and Kyla.
Wow.
I mean, along the lines of what you're talking about with Broccoli, I don't, for me, there was no song that was more fun to listen to in 2016 than One Dance. Even though the rest of the Views album, I think, was disappointing relative to expectations, this song was great. Its message is not as problematic as some of the past Drake songs, specifically Hotline Bling, which was number one last year. That's a back-to-back
years. Back-to-back Drake years? Yeah. Wow!
But this was the song that defined 2016, I think, more than any other one song.
And you think One Dance?
I guess you could say Formation. That would probably be the other candidate. But Song of the Summer, in all likelihood. You don't think so?
I'm okay with it. I'm not sold 100%, but I'm okay with it. I think it's a good song. But I don't think it quite embodies what I have at number one, which is No Problem by Chance the Rapper, featuring Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz, which has everything.
This song has everything.
No Problem has everything. It has Chance the Rapper railing against record labels coming after him, yep. Right? Such a modern message. He's saying, I can take this to the people irrelevant of record labels.
Which he could.
It has Weezy being along with the message, right? Emboldened in this fight with his record label, trying to get payment from him. It has 2 Chainz, who has no idea what's going on with the song. Who's rapping just random 2 Chainz lyrics, but raps the line, I'm so high, me and God dapping, and that's why it's number one. It takes all of the different elements that we have for 2016, and it's a little bit aggressive, not that much. Chance still seems kind of excited on it, still feels good, but when this comes on, that's just it. That's it. If you're doing a baby dance party, if you're at the Chance the Rapper show, if you're anywhere, this is the song. This is the song of the year.
It's a great song. It's still not my favorite song from the album, as we've seen.
And All Night is a great song, but I don't think it's going to last as long
I don't think so.
As No Problem is. This is kind of the mission statement for what Chance the Rapper has been doing, and as far as we can tell, will continue to do. And it's the song from the Coloring Book album, which I would say is probably not the best album of the year, because Kanye put an album, so just pen him in. Don't pencil it in. Pen him in with the record of the year for Kanye, but this is the album. It's right there. The two of them carrying on that tradition. And we saw it on Ultralight Beam being the number one song for Pitchfork, where Kanye is kind of handing off his throne to Chance.
Passing the torch.
He's passing the torch to him. And on this track, Chance is having his mission statement. He's saying,
What is he saying?
Completely on his own, yeah. Right? He owns everything. He's doing it on his terms, and it's all Chance's.
Yeah. All right, is there anything else, now that we've got through our top tens, any other songs we should mention? You know what I'm stunned was not on your list?
What's that?
Panda. I thought Panda was going to be on your list.
Really? Panda by Designer?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that was a 2015 song.
You were advocating hard for it as the song of the summer.
I remember the song coming out in 2015.
I mean, did it? I don't...
It did.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm the only person who considers it.
Well, again, Pitchfork had it in its top 100.
I was like, what is this doing here? This 2015 song. But I mean, you know, Kanye took Panda and took it to another level.
That's true.
So how could I have Panda on the list when Kanye did it even better?
Released 2016.
Oh, you're not looking at it right.
Oh, no, I guess the song premiered on December 15th, 2015. All right. But that... I guess, and that wasn't quite more than a year. It was less than a year ago, so it still qualifies for this year's list. I think
the giant panda, literally black and white cat foot, also known as panda bear or simply panda. That's what I found for my research.
Good work. I think that was the only that was the other honorable mention I had that hasn't come up over the course of this conversation. I'm sure you have an extensive list of things that you considered but did not pick.
I didn't write down my list of honorable mentions.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not even going to try to name them because it's a lot.
Yes.
The one song.
But you have this longer playlist that you're going to put out.
It'll be shared on the WordPress page.
Yes.
So if you visit it there, it'll be, hopefully it's in Apple Music form. Hopefully it's going to be on Spotify. It's not a top 100 songs of the year. It's just the top songs. It's a living, evolving, breathing list. Songs come, songs go.
So it's like the life of Pablo.
And yeah, exactly. The one thing that, there are a couple themes that I saw throughout the year. There's Chance the Rapper and artists functioning outside of the label system, particularly in the hip hop world.
Yes.
Right. And then there's artists,
I believe that's the Macklemore path.
I feel like there's a distribution deal there. but then there's also artists like Beyonce and So Long reclaiming their personal identity. Right?
You know, we didn't talk about formation. Like, there's a line in one of when Chuck Klosterman writes about Beyonce at one point. I think it might
talking
be
about Chuck. This is the whitest thing you're gonna say
in Killing Yourself to Live. And he's like about like the only things I know about Beyonce are that, you know, she loves God and she loves her husband and she can really sing or something along those lines. Like the notion that within a decade she was going to become this, you know, person with a distinct point of view is an African American woman.
Yes.
Like, was kind of unthinkable at that point. And now she's got, like...
And more important than Jay-Z.
Yeah, I mean...
Reclaiming Jay-Z lines. So, we're going to have shortly on, as you can hear, Baby Fantasy Genius to talk about his top 10 songs of the year. He's staying up late to talk to us about this. So, forward to that, to close out 2016.
Yeah, and apologies that the sound on that is pretty great. It's hard to do levels with a four-year-old, as it turns out. They're not the most consistent in terms of like volume and pitch.
Should we apologize for the entire podcast?
We should. We should probably apologize for all of that. But thanks for listening.
I think I was building to a bigger point. But thanks for listening.
Do you want to go to the bigger point?
I don't remember what it was at this point.
All right. On that note.
Oh wait. So okay. Here's what it was. This was the point that I was going to make is seeing songs, and this is something that it'll be apparent on my playlist, but also is considering for the top 10, and it kind of happened with Drum and Broccoli, is songs coming from recorded to the internet to huge, right?
Yes.
And there's an artist, a rapper out of Florida named Kato, that I was considering putting his song in the top 10 called Fruit Punch. And it's more or less an internet rap song.
Well, I mean, last year, Cha-Cha was basically an internet song.
Yeah, and that song, I mean, it turned, Drum's not an internet artist in the same way, but these songs being so quick and so accessible and the ability for so many people to hear them very quickly. And to me, it's something that I've seen a lot, and including an artist named Internet James. but are songs that can come from the internet and to SoundCloud to the masses very quickly, irrelevant of, and this kind of goes within what Chance is talking about, irrelevant of a huge structure making people at the same time.
And I think that's reflected in kind of the diversity of some of these lists. Like, you know, someone like Anderson .Paak talks about coming from the, you know, the community leagues to the majors. Like, you can make that transition much more easily now.
Yes.
Carsey Headrest, another good example.
I don't know what these community leagues are that he's talking at.
It was a baseball metaphor for his career.
I think he means the minor leagues. Are there community leagues in baseball?
Semi-pro leagues.
All right, .250 on base percentage.
No,
he's better. A five-tool player. What am I talking about?
Exactly.
He can do everything.
Exactly.
Great arm.
All right, so let's now bring in your son, Luca, to talk about his favorite bands of 2016. We'd like to welcome to the podcast your son, Luca, here to share with us his 10 favorite bands, which may or may not actually be 10 bands.
You never know. It could be
59 bands.
59 bands, apparently. This is gonna take a while. But so Luca has a constantly evolving list of favorite, we're going to say 10 for now, of 10 favorite bands. And it varies very widely. You never know what it's going to be from time to time. So we really like to take stock of what those are at various different times. We felt like maybe as a 2016 music year in review, we'd see what he's thinking. And he just used me as a napkin. Okay. So, do you want to start with number one, Luca?
Okay. Wolf Parade.
So you saw Wolf Parade live in person at Pickathon. Yeah. What did you think?
Pretty good.
Just pretty good? Okay.
Okay, what about number two?
Whitney.
Oh, Whitney. There we go. Tell us about your feelings about Whitney.
So far, they came in seconds because I never heard them since a long time.
Because you haven't heard them since a long time?
Yes.
The other thing that I want to say here is that these choices, this is the thing. I'm not feeding Luca these choices, right? Is that true, Luca? There are bands that you make the decisions about whether you like them or not, irrelevant of me, right?
Yeah. So my third band is Car Seat Headrest.
Car Seat Headrest. Coming in number three.
Now, you just recently saw Car Seat Headrest. How was that show? Thumbs up. That's a record show. He's giving a thumbs up.
You were there, Alice.
It's true.
But not all of the listeners were there.
No.
How many times have you seen Car Seat Headrest this year?
I have no idea.
Where are some places that you've seen Car Seat Headrest?
The Capitol.
Opening for Tao.
And
we missed the second one. The Neptune.
What was the second one?
You just said it.
The Neptune.
Block Party.
Block Party. So now I saw I can't remember any more places except KEXP.
Okay, KEXP Studios. That's pretty much all the places.
It was two times at the Neptune, right?
Yes, one time opening for Tao at the Neptune and one time headlining. But I want to say, this is what I was trying to get to, is that now, Car Seat Headrest is number three. There are times when I listen to songs that you don't like.
Yes, because here's my fourth band. Fourth. So fourth is Kevin Morby.
Oh, Kevin Morby. We're going through all the classics right now.
We really are.
The Luca classics.
Another one you saw at at Pickathon, rather. And how concerned were you that we were going to be too late to see Kevin Morby? That was pretty scary, right?
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
There were tears. But do you like Christmas music?
No.
Let the record show that he's shaking his head no. That was what I was going to give as an example. And you're hearing a lot of Christmas music lately because I listen to a lot of Christmas music. Is this true? Let the record show he nodded yes.
Oh, yes. So here's fifth.
Okay. He doesn't want to be distracted from his list.
Fifth is not a Pickathon. This was when... X-Ambassadors.
Oh, X-Ambassadors.
See, that's a bit of a wild card pick.
Tell us about X-Ambassadors.
I don't know anything about them.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, and you saw them, you also saw them this last summer.
Yes. But this one is the, this is another one I saw, Pickathon. It's another wild card. Mac DeMarco.
Oh, that is a wild card.
Yeah, that is. Number six, Mac DeMarco.
Wait, how did Mac DeMarco play his guitar at Pickathon?
Upside down. And behind his head.
Upside down and behind his head.
Not upside down exactly.
But it was behind his head?
Yes.
Is that pretty silly?
Yes, and plus he jumped off the stage playing his guitar.
Oh, he crowd surfed playing guitar. What are we on, number seven?
Yeah, we're on number seven now.
This is a bit of not a wild card.
It's not a wild card.
Yep, it's not. But the next one is a wild card. This one is called Chance the Rapper.
Oh, Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
You heard us earlier talking about Chance the Rapper on our top 10 songs of the year. And here he comes in ranking number 7. Is that right?
Well, several of these groups have already been discussed.
This is a wild card.
Okay, so many wild cards coming.
Number 8.
My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, that was a wild card.
Sorry, My Bloody Valentine. You're coming in a little too high. Can you keep it down?
My Bloody Valentine. I did not expect a shoegaze band to be on this list.
So, this is Frank Ocean.
Number 9 is Frank Ocean. Another artist you've already heard about on this list.
Yes. There's only more than 10.
All right, who's your number 10, though?
A 10? Okay, 10 is Frank Ocean.
No, yeah, that was Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean was 9.
Number 9?
Oh. Right, so this might be kind of weird. It's got a weird one. You want to hear my weird one?
Of course.
All right. Fits in the Tantrums.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's been a popular one all summer long.
And you saw Fits in the Tantrums this last summer. Where was that at?
This summer and last summer.
Oh, two consecutive summers. Where did you see them?
Once this summer, I saw them at Marymore Park. And last summer, I saw them at Marymore Park.
Bummer shoot. Opening for the Weeknd. You were how many years old when you saw the Weeknd?
3 years old at that point.
Yeah, that was far too young to be going to a Weeknd show.
Especially with what was going on in the crowd.
Yeah, I was saying he's going to have to learn that word content and smells sometime.
He's three. Are you ready for my next
We're keeping it going? Okay, we're keeping it going. Okay, number 11.
All the way to 59.
Well, we're not doing 59. 59 is going to be another day.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a wild card. Used to be a band you liked.
I no longer like them.
You still like
them. Okay.
And I don't think you'll expect it. Pickwick.
Oh, I did not expect that. Going for a local band, you saw Pickwick for the first time playing with Fits in the Tantrums?
Yes, but then I saw them 6 days ago.
6 days later.
Yes. At something else.
At the Mural Amphitheater.
At Bumbershoot.
Not actually at Bumbershoot. At the Mural Amphitheater on a KXP summer concert series.
Oh. So this is kind of weird.
They can't all be weird ones.
This isn't a wild card.
They're either weird or a wild card.
Yeah, but I just can't think of another one.
Okay, so we're done.
That's okay.
We're done at 11?
That's a good list.
Was there anything else that you wanted to get in there?
I just can't remember some of them.
What else stood out for you? What else was highlights for you that you saw this year? Anything else?
Yes, but I just can't remember them.
Macklemore?
Oh, Macklemore.
Yeah, you saw Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
Okay, so now this is Explosions in the Sky.
Yeah, also saw Explosions okay.
I'm guessing Macklemore is 12. Sure. Explosions in the Sky is number 13. I'm more concerned with keeping these in order than you are.
Joe Lewis.
Oh, Black Joe Lewis coming in at number 14.
You saw Anderson .Paak.
Okay, Anderson .Paak.
And Run the Jewels. What'd you think of Run the Jewels?
Kind of weird.
real wild card.
Yes. Once Killer Mike was swearing.
Killer Mike was swearing.
More than once.
He knows the individual members of Run the Jewels, though, so that's something. Do you know the other member of Run the Jewels besides Killer Mike? That's okay. It's LP. Still, for four, I mean, knowing half of Run the Jewels is still pretty good. I was surprised not to hear Tame Impala on your list.
Tame Impala. That's in next.
They're number 15. What's your favorite Tame Impala song?
It's always going to be Right Tonight. Oh, again.
It's always going to be what?
I can't remember its name. It's that really cool video.
What's that song called?
Let It Happen.
Let It Happen? The less I know, the better?
No. Feel like I'm always going backwards?
No.
Elephant.
No.
You've exhausted all the Tame Impala songs that we can name.
There's one more that I used to remember, but I can't.
Feels Like We Only Go Backwards. You said that one?
I did say that one.
Okay.
There's one more that I can't remember.
All right, I'm looking this up.
He's looking this up now. What do you think was your favorite performance that you saw?
Same Old Mistakes?
New Person, Same Old Mistakes. No. Okay, well.
I mean, Because
I'm a man.
There we go.
I got a nod. I feel like he might have said that just to shut us up.
All right, well, I think that's a really good year in review in music, Luca. Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
No, thanks.
All right, good night.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, Luca.
Well, so that was the Fabulous Peltoncast year in review. We heard a lot of things here today.
We sure did. And I'd like to think we laughed, we cried, we learned a little bit. On that note, thanks for listening.